BBC.
BBC.
You're with the BBC.
Now on the BBC World Service, it's time for assignment. The BBC has found evidence that a senior Congolese army general has used his troops to take over a lucrative mine in eastern Congo. Thomas Fessy reports from the town of Walikale in the North Kivu Forest near the Rwandan border.
From a hill which overlooks the town, I can feel how remote it is. We're nearly 2,000 kilometres away from the Congolese capital, Kinshasa, here. The forest is just all around. Walikale is completely surrounded by this very dense vegetation. Now, this forest hosts some of the region's biggest mines. Cassiterite, coltan or gold, it's all here, deep in the jungle. But sadly, the reality of this picture is much less peaceful than that. This is an area where people have gone through several wars. I guess it is no secret that these conflicts are being fueled by the mineral trade.
So for this week's edition of Assignment, I've come to investigate this illegal trading of what some have called blood gold, and whether a senior army general is personally benefiting from the mining and illegal trade of gold. The lure of the profits from these mines has turned this area close to the border with Rwanda and Uganda into a battlefield. Rebels have kidnapped, raped and massacred civilians in surrounding villages. The government has said this must stop, and it sent in the military.
The order of the president, who is also the supreme commander of our armed forces, is being strictly implemented by the Congolese army. That is certain. We are going to clean up these mining areas from all rebel presence. As for the Congolese forces, it's absolutely clear that the presence of any of our soldiers is totally forbidden in mining areas.
Absolument interdite dans les zones minières.
General Didier Etumba, he's the Congolese Army's chief of staff. I met him in Walikale as he came to check the ongoing military operations there. He was issuing a clear warning to the numerous rebel groups in the east, but also to his own soldiers. The irony was that he used my interview as an opportunity to address all his commanders standing beside him.
The Congolese forces have no right to be in mines. It is true that they were called at a certain point to go and chase rebels. But right now, it is absolutely forbidden, and none of my soldiers can be granted whatever authorization to be in the mines. In fact, I want to tell all my soldiers to do business or to be involved in any kind of traffic, either minerals or anything else, is totally forbidden. A soldier cannot do business.
What would you do if you find out that some commanders are still operating in mining activities?
No question. They would be arrested. Whatever their rank, whatever their grade, whatever their function.
That is quite a statement. Among those listening was Etumba's deputy, General Gabriel Amisi Kumba, the Congolese Army's chief of staff in charge of infantry. He's a former commander of an armed group that was backed by Congo's neighbour, Rwanda, in the late 90s and early 2000s. He would then go by his nickname, Tango Four. General Amisi has been accused by local and international human rights groups of direct involvement in various killings of civilians, including the massacre of more than 100 people in the eastern town of Kisangani back in 2002. He still enjoys his own guard of about 150 men, and alongside his military position, the general is also a successful businessman.
The club and Darin Club Moté Mapembe have profoundly marked the history of football quinoa. Le premier lui a offert sa première Coupe d'Afrique de club champion.
He's the president of the main football club in the Congolese capital Kinshasa, the V Club, which he calls his second wife. He's also into cargo shipping and mining. And it's General Amisi's mining interests I've been investigating, especially gold. which can easily be transported by small planes taking off from the single tarmac road, which sits deep in the bush. From here, the planes fly the gold and minerals out. Several hours' walk away in the jungle is the Omate mine. It is a medium-sized mine that hasn't been industrialized, which makes it easier for military to control it. Ever since the Belgian colonial rulers left in 1960, the ownership of Omate gold mine has been disputed by a series of mining companies. Within the last 12 months, a mining company called Geminaco asked General Amisi for direct assistance in order to take control of the gold mine. I have obtained a copy of a letter sent by the general in February to the regional army commander in North Kivu. In this letter, Amisi tells the officer to evict a rival company, Sokagrimin, to replace it with Geminaco. The letter reads,
"I order you to proceed to the eviction of the administration in place and all military involved in mining activities, and to reinstate Geminaco in its initial positions. Signed, the Chief of Staff of Ground Forces, General Major Gabriel Amisi Kumba."
But should the general have got involved at all? I put the question to the head of the government's mining division in North Kivu, Emmanuel Dimubanzi.
Omate is located in the area covered by a research permit from the Minister of Mines. Sokagrimin and Geminaco are fighting to get that area, but General Amisi got some information from one side.
Is it the usual procedure that such a top commander actually orders to put a company in place in a mining site?
No, it is not for him to decide that. I don't know what are the reasons for him to do that. I don't know, I can't understand.
Mr. Dimubanzi confirmed that neither Geminaco nor its rival Sokagrimin actually had the legal rights to mine Omate. My investigation suggests that there was a very good reason for the general to use military force to install one of the companies, Geminaco.
We have a meeting now with someone who knows this illegal system very well, because he's been involved in it. So he's key to understanding the whole thing. But we're going to a safe place to make sure that we can talk without attracting attention. So we're going a bit further away from crowded places.
The head of Geminaco in Congo, René Munyi, is a friend of General Amisi, or Tango 4, as they know him. They know each other from the province where they're both from, and they struck a deal together to exploit the Omate gold mine, which would give Amisi 25% of the monthly production of raw gold.
So the head of Geminaco goes to Amisi in Kinshasa. What does he ask him?
He tells him that there is another company operating at Omate mine, and that it's becoming an inconvenience. So the head of Geminaco asks General Amisi to force them off the site in return for a good reward.
And so what was the agreement?
He promised to give him 25% of the proceeds, to be exact. But the director of Geminaco at Omate site, Mr. Shabani, raised concerns about the deal, so there was confusion over how General Amisi would collect his share.
We'll hear more about Mr. Shabani later. The deal was confirmed to me by a provincial government source who wouldn't go under record. In fact, I know the deal is common knowledge in the area, even if almost everybody is so scared that they can only speak anonymously.
Omate mine is under the control of the Congolese army.
This soldier was deployed until very recently at the Omate mine.
Le principal commandant qui est basé directement à partir de Kinshasa, c'est le général Amisi Tango 4.
The main commander in charge is based in Kinshasa, and that is General Amisi Tango 4. General Amisi controls all the soldiers from infantry division. And so, when there's an issue between the two companies, This goes to him in Kinshasa. He gave the order through a written document that his 212th Infantry Brigade must proceed to evict the company Soccer Grimini's to let Geminaco in, and this is what happened. So he was in charge of the whole operation and sent his infantry brigade to the mine. We know it because one of his men, Captain Juma, was killed at the mine during an attack by local rebels.
I've learnt from a representative of Soka Grimin that just after being removed from the Omate mine, Soka Grimin tried to cut its own deal with General Amisi to get back in his good books and be able to mine again. But the source told me that General Amisi turned down the deal and stayed with Geminaco instead. In September, the Congolese president Joseph Kabila took action, surprising his own government by ordering a ban on mineral production to root out what he called mafia groups who control the trade. So did gold mining stop at Omate? I set out on the paved road, which cuts through the densely forested hills.
About 30 kilometers from Walikale, the small town of Mubi hosts traders who are weighing sacks of cassiterite and other minerals. But with the ban on mineral trade now enforced, shops are closed and traders can only wait for the ban to be lifted.
But a number of residents and traders there, who were too frightened to be recorded, told me that gold smuggling continues. Unlike cassiterite, the dark tin ore, gold can be easily traded and transported. In Mubi, the trading posts are closed and the price lists are no longer on show. Yet, one of the shopkeepers in the main street selling matches, soap and sardine tins still had a set of scales on display. He told me how the trade had worked before the ban.
So what's this?
Timbalance.
This is a scale. Before the mineral trade was banned, we would weigh gold on it. People who extracted would come to us and we would buy their gold.
Le gouvernement a abusé ça et nous n'avons rien à le payer.
Do you know from which mine it is actually coming from?
Il y a tant de gîtes miniers.
There are many gold mines, but there is only one mine that provides a lot of gold. It's called Omate mine.
What's the price of the gold?
$450.
It's $450 for 10 grams, and we get a $20 commission and sell it for $470 in town.
Once you've bought the gold here, where is it going afterwards?
We deliver it to agencies' offices, and then it's taken by truck to the airstrip in Kilambo and then flown to Bukavu.
I wanted to ask this gold buyer more questions, but I discovered that the guy standing behind me was actually an officer from the Congolese intelligence agency, ANR. So I had to stop recording. This happens a lot while reporting in the Congo, especially in mining areas. I wanted to go to the gold mine of Omate myself, but I quickly realized that it wouldn't be possible because of the heavy deployment of soldiers there. The Congolese friend, who had already gone several times in the past, walked there again less than 3 weeks ago, and he told me that he saw the mining taking place despite the ban. He was able to bring back a few sounds of him approaching the mine. And what my friend found was confirmed by this gold digger, whom I met in Mubi.
So could you tell us if you're still working at the mine despite the ban right now?
Yes, I go to the mine regularly to dig for gold. The soldiers are there too. They work there. This is how the gold gets out of Omate mine.
Are you saying that the military themselves are involved in digging?
No, they use diggers. These are local people. We call them combatants or owls, and they basically dig for the soldiers. But the soldiers come into the pit to check on the diggers to see what they find.
When you see that, do you feel threatened?
Yes, if someone provokes them by asking a question, they beat him. This is how it goes. They can hit us. They beat us with their hands. That's it.
Il lui frappe. C'est comme ça.
I've come at the back of a local bar where a soldier is waiting for me. I've been told he's willing to talk to me. He's just come out of the Omate gold mine. Jumbo?
Johnson.
So how long have you spent at the Omate mine?
I've spent 2 months and 2 weeks there.
So what was the situation there?
Well, at Omate mine, there's a company there called Geminico, which exploits the mines and the precious stones and minerals. And there are also soldiers mining there who were sent by our chief of staff, General Amisi. They have a reserve space to do it there. And the gold goes to the brigade commander in charge of the units, who are actually meant to be hunting down rebels. And some of the gold goes to General Amisi in Kinshasa. We haven't found any rebels at Omate mine. Rebels are a few kilometers further beyond the river, so we should have gone over there to hunt them down. But instead, we just stayed at the mine. It shows that our commanders would rather work for a few precious stones. This is very serious. Instead of benefiting the state of Congo, this money goes to unknown pockets.
All my sources have risked their lives talking to the BBC, but they say they want to help end the deadly trade in conflict minerals. Just this summer, more than 300 civilians were raped in this area by a coalition of rebel groups. An internal memo from the UN peacekeeping mission in Congo suggested that the villages attacked were vulnerable because there were no Congolese soldiers to protect them. The soldiers deployed there had left their posts to go to mining areas nearby, including the gold mine of Omate. But there's a twist in this tale. Apparently, relationships suddenly soured between General Amisi and Geminako, the company he put into the mine. One of my key sources explains.
The agreement broke down when Geminako did not respect the deal. Gold was coming out of the mine, but the general wasn't getting his share, and the company started to avoid him. Geminico basically scammed the general and reneged on their deal.
How is the relationship now between the head of Geminico and General Amisi?
They're bitter, bitter enemies. You can imagine what the general must have felt when he realized that he'd been betrayed and left out of the company, despite their agreement, and betrayed by his own friend. He could have used soldiers to beat up this man to finish him, but I think he had second thoughts and realized what this might do to his reputation, so he preferred to stay quiet.
The Geminako representative at Omate mine, Shabani Manala Taibu, has been arrested. He's been taken to the military camp here in Walikale before he was transferred to the local police. So I asked the police chief if I could have access to him, and he just gave me the permission to ask Shabani Manana a few questions. He's actually out of his cell a few moments each morning, so maybe this is a good time to catch him. He's a thin but very tall man.
Okay.
Entrez.
Can we open the window? Est-ce qu'on peut ouvrir la fenêtre?
Oui.
Tiny window there, which will give us a bit of light. So, Mr. Shabani Manala, could you tell us why you've been arrested?
Donc, c'est le général Amisi qui avait ordonné.
It's General Amisi who ordered my arrest, and I was arrested by Congolese soldiers on charges of being a threat to state security and for violating instructions. The problem was, when the mining ban was ordered, we couldn't just shut everything down immediately because we had all our equipment in the mine. So while we were getting ready to leave the mine, people thought that we were still working there and there were still many soldiers there.
The soldiers who were at the mine, who sent them in the first place?
We were in a dispute with a rival mining company which was supported by a former army commander and wanted to mine the same site. So we asked General Amisi to help us secure the site. General Amisi is the chief of staff of infantry. He's the one who gives such instructions to soldiers. We're 2,000 kilometers from Kinshasa here. So the boss of Geminako in Kinshasa, René Mwenii, went to General Amisi there to ask him to pass the order on to his men.
Did you have a deal with General Amisi?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We haven't got any agreement with General Amisi, no link at all. He's not an associate or anything. We're not accountable to him, and we haven't bribed him. These are just allegations.
Our time is up now, so Shabani Malana is going to go back to his cell.
I then called his boss, René Mwenii, in Kinshasa, and he, too, fervently denied that he'd done a deal which benefited General Amisi. He rejected all allegations as fabrication. It was now time to call the general himself to confront him directly.
Hello?
Hello, General Amisi?
Oui, s'il vous plaît.
Bonjour, c'est Thomas Fessy, journaliste de la BBC à Londres.
Moi, je ne suis pas habilité de répondre aux questions militaires, ça c'est.
But General Amisi refused to answer my questions, arguing that he's not a spokesman for the army. He then hung up. When I called again, he passed me on to the army's spokesman, Colonel Kasongo, who said I had no authority to investigate the general's interests.
No, listen. You're just looking for sensationalism. General Amisi is a great authority. One cannot talk about him as if we were just talking about a child. And you establish yourself as an investigative organization against him? This is not right. Sir, goodbye.
The service you called has cleared.
But I'm sure you remember what the Army's Chief of Staff, General Didier Etumba, told me. And remember also, General Amisi was standing right behind him.
What would you do if you find out that some commanders are still operating in mining activities?
No question. They would be arrested. This is certain. Whatever their rank, whatever their grade, whatever their function.
It's a clear promise. But like many promises in the Congo, can it be fulfilled when some of those who have sworn to protect the people are actually seizing the country's natural wealth for their own ends?
Assignment was presented by Thomas Fessy. The producer of the programme was Daniel Tetlow. If you'd like to download a podcast of this programme or perhaps listen to other programmes in the Assignment series, go to bbcworldservice.com/programmes.